There's a lot of vineyard imagery in our readings today. In the first reading from Isaiah, in the Psalm 80, and in the Gospel. It's said that ancient Israel was one giant vineyard. Certainly over the door of the temple which was destroyed in 70 AD, but over the door of the temple when it was there hung a huge, giant vine made out of pure gold. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. Wine was not only safer at times in the ancient world than drinking water, it was also symbolic of the joy of relationship. Still today, right? People bond over a good glass of wine. And in the scriptures, the primary relationship is with God. So wine in the scriptures was symbolic of the joy we experience in our covenant relationship with the Lord. In the translation of Isaiah that we heard this evening, Isaiah talks about singing of his friend. But a better translation is actually, let me sing for my beloved, a love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. The beloved for Isaiah is the Lord. Can you and I call God not only friend, but our beloved? When was the last time you prayed to your beloved? How intimate are you with your beloved? How much of your heart do you yield to the Lord God? Notice how in Isaiah, in the Psalm, and in the Gospel, how hard the Lord works for his beloved vineyard. He's constantly working for our good and inviting us into deeper relationship with him. In the Gospel, Jesus is speaking in the first place to the leaders of the people, to the tenants who have care for others and who are rejecting Jesus. They don't see their need for redemption. They don't see their own need for a Savior. How aware are we of our need for a Savior? I encounter a lot of people who maybe believe in God or say that they do, but don't feel a need for a relationship with him. Certainly aren't aware of any need to be saved by him. Saved from what? I have a list as long as my arm of all the little things that I need to be saved from. Distractions and emails and emotions. Let alone a long list of big things to save me from myself. To save me from evil. To save me from death. I can't save myself from death or any of those things. If we don't know that we need a Savior, we're among the most pitiable of people. And the Lord of the vineyard, when he comes, will take the kingdom away from us to be given to a people who do realize their need to be saved. Jesus begins his parable by once again referring to a landowner, literally a man who is a householder or the master of the house. This master of the house plants a vineyard and puts a hedge and digs a wine press and builds a tower and leases the vineyard to tenants and then departs to a foreign land. There's six verbs here in rapid succession. It's a flurry of activity on the part of the master. In Isaiah, that first reading, the grapes of the vineyard, the vine yield wild grapes. In the parable here of Jesus, there's no concern about the vines, that they'll yield beautiful grapes, wonderful grapes, the choicest of grapes. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has been poured out, And all who yield to the working of the Holy Spirit will yield choice grapes. The question is whether we're willing to work with the Holy Spirit at all. In the parable, the tenants are greedy and power hungry. They not only want to keep the grapes for themselves, they want to be seen as the master of the house. Despite the fact that you and I have received the Holy Spirit of Christ in baptism, in confirmation, in reconciliation, in the Holy Eucharist, we still have to guard against greed and against the desire for control. Control over my own life that I have to surrender, let alone control over other lives that I need to surrender. None of my stuff is really mine. We're all tenants on the land of the Lord of the vineyard. We're all stewards of property and talents that were leased to us for a time. Are you ready to yield it all back to the true master of the house? He'll come, probably on a day we don't expect, and he'll say, "What do you have for me? What have you done with what I've given to you?" And how eager are we to yield it all? I mean, we might be embarrassed about what we have to yield. He's not worried about our embarrassment. He's worried about us letting go. How often when we come to prayer or to the sacrament of reconciliation or to the Eucharist and we say, "Here you go, Lord." "Yeah, take it. Now give it back." Are we ready to yield it all to the true master of the house? Not just ready to give him our second fruits or the third fruits or fourth fruits, our leftovers, but to give him our first fruits. To yield to him the best of the harvest of our hearts. In the parable, the master of the house is intent on getting the yield of those grapes. Three different times he sends. We see the great desire the master has for his vineyard. The intense desire he has to receive that yield. The yield is very, very precious to him. Precious enough for him to send prophet after prophet who will be beaten and killed. And in the end, precious enough for him to send his only son. "They will respect my son." On the one hand, we can wonder how naive this master is after the tenants, all that they have done to the servants that he has sent. And then to think that they'll treat his son differently. But then on the other hand, we see three things. We see the utter innocence of the Father. There's no evil within him. There's no conception of evil in him. He's always just thinking that we will be like him, that we want to be like him. Secondly, we see the complete power of the Father to endure this disrespect repeatedly. He has to be omnipotent in order to be able to endure this disrespect, this dishonor over and over again. And lastly, we see the utter love the Father has for his vineyard, manifested in his intense desire to receive the yield of his vineyard. He won't give up on us, no matter what. He wants the harvest of our hearts. And he's going to send for it, and send for it, and send for it until he gets it. He won't give up on us. The master of the house, the heavenly Father, the Lord of the vineyard, wants the yield of our hearts. This parable divides time into four different sections. You know, the planting of the vineyard and the going of the master out to another country, that's the work of creation, right? The sending of the servants, that's the prophets. It's the time of the Old Testament. The sending of the Son, which is Jesus, is the New Testament all the way up to our own time. And then there's the coming of the owner or the Lord of the vineyard. That's the second coming. Don't wait for the second coming to yield the harvest of your heart to the Lord of the vineyard, the master of the house. Don't delay giving over to him today what is truly his. He's relentless on pursuing our hearts, but he'll always leave us free. Don't wait until he comes and takes the kingdom away from you to give it to a people who will yield a harvest to him. Be as zealous to surrender to him as he is to pursue after you. In other words, realize your need for a Savior and turn to him. Here's the homework for the week. I've been gone for a week and a half. You probably have really missed this, I understand. In your prayer this week, pray to the Lord as your beloved. Pray to him as your beloved. And surrender to him all your possessions, the whole rich harvest of your heart. And most importantly, open wide to him the door of your heart. Come to me, O Lord God, my beloved.